I am thrilled to be joined again by Drayton Anderson, returning champion. We are going to be talking about the 4+1 program. The first time that Drayton was on this podcast, we were talking about registration. Drayton was still an undergraduate academic advisor. He has gotten a promotion since then. He's now doing, you're a program coordinator for the accelerated program in the School of Life Sciences. And so this episode is really going to be about, like, what is an accelerated program? This is colloquially known as the 4+1. So, and jump in, correct me wherever I'm wrong here, but an accelerated program at ASU is when you do a master's program and finish up your undergraduate degree concurrently. So the programs that we're going to be talking about today are master's degrees in biology, biology and society, microbiology, molecular and cellular biology, and computational life sciences. Basically, the way that the 4+1 program works is that if you are accepted into it in your final year of undergraduate, which is typically your fourth year, could be your third year, but typically your fourth year, you are completing both undergraduate and graduate level coursework at the same time, and they're applying to both degrees. So that's where the 4 and the 4+1 comes in. 4 is your last year, and then that +1 is the year of just dedicated graduate coursework. So you're getting that graduate degree in 1 year as opposed to 2 years, which is much more typical for a master's program. So that was like a broad overview of what the 4+1 is. There are two options when you're applying. So you can apply to the research and thesis option, and you can apply into the coursework and capstone option, at least for the biology masters. It's different for the other ones. They are only the research and thesis option. But Drayton, am I, you know, what preliminary question, like what percent of students are doing just the biology one versus the other four sort of more ancillary ones?
Yeah, I think that it really just depends on students' interest. For our coursework and capstone students, if you have no interest in doing research or defending a thesis, like, that's a great program for you. Yeah. And like you said, this is a biology master's option, or it could be computational life sciences as well, which is a newer master's that we have. Coursework and capstone is great for students who maybe want to go to med school and they just want to maybe improve their application a little bit better. Or like I said, they just don't really have any interest in doing research or thesis in the future. Maybe they want to teach at either a community college level or a high school level, whereas research and thesis, if you are interested in doing research and you want to defend a thesis, if you're interested in going on to a PhD program at some point in the future, it kind of gives you practice for your dissertation process. But I think that, let's say we have 20 incoming students that are all part of the accelerated program, I would say 12 of them usually do coursework and capstone, and then the other 8 will do research and thesis.
Oh, interesting.
So it's closer to 50% when you look at all of the programs. But yeah, I think it just really depends on the student and what their interests are. Obviously, if you have no research experience leading into your senior year of undergrad, you're probably not going to do a research and thesis accelerated master's, but that doesn't mean that you can't do a research and thesis traditional master's in the future. And we can maybe touch on that towards the end of the episode.
Yeah, so give us a sense, like, curriculum-wise, what's the difference between the coursework and capstone and the research and thesis?
Yeah, so like Evan said, when you are going into your final year, and this really applies only to on-campus students, and we can kind of touch on the on-campus population in a little bit because it just looks different. But if you are an emergent student and you have 2 full semesters left, meaning if we're talking about a typical student, right, you graduate after in your 4th year of undergrad in spring of whatever. So that fall semester and that spring semester would be your last 2 undergrad semesters. What we want is to hopefully have you take a good chunk of your coursework during this semester. So it's just something to touch on with the 4+1 program as a whole. You can share up to 12 total credits between your undergrad and your master's degree. When you are going into your final 2 semesters, we look at any 400 level courses that have been taken in the past, and those can be shared. So you're able to share up to 6 credits of 400 level coursework. And now what we're trying to do ideally during your last undergrad year is find 500 level classes that you can use in your undergrad degree that will transfer towards your master's as well, or courses that maybe you're just interested in at the 500 level that will also go towards your master's. Sometimes it's able to be used in your undergrad. It really just depends on what students have left to graduate. But we're trying to, especially if we're looking at a research and thesis master's, we want you to knock out your core courses, if possible, during your undergrad when you're in that mode of taking classes, passing the classes, and being done. With that example, it allows your plus 1 year or your master's year to be really focused on your research and thesis, so that you're not having to take coursework while you are in the research lab trying to get the information that you need to defend your thesis and graduate, because it is a plus one. We want you to graduate in a plus 1 year, but if your research or thesis based, it's really going to depend on your research and thesis. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to graduate in that plus 1 year.
So could you give us a sense specifically, like, this is what the thesis is, this is what a capstone project is. Yeah. Like, how are those different?
So with a thesis, ideally we want you to start your research towards your thesis in your last undergrad semester. And you are doing your own research. And I know we'll touch on this a little bit later, but you have a faculty advisor who is guiding your research, and hopefully their expertise area aligns with what you're doing your thesis on. But research and thesis, you are doing the research and you are putting together this crazy document that's probably longer than any of the students have published at this point. And you are defending that thesis with a committee of three faculty at ASU. If there's revisions to be made, you revise it, and then it is uploaded into what is called KEEP at ASU. It's an ASU database that has all the theses and dissertations in the past. So that's what a thesis is. You're really focused on finding your own research and defending a thesis of your choice. A capstone, on the other hand, you're taking 27 credits of coursework. There's 3 one-credit courses that are required, but the other 24 credits are elective courses that are life science related that we want you to take courses towards your interest. A lot of them are going to be bio, micro, whatever, but you could also do sustainability courses, GIS courses count. So we want it to be focused on what you're interested in. And then the capstone project is a class that you take in your final semester. And in the simplest terms, it's just a research paper in a specific biology area that you're most interested in learning a little bit more about. So you're doing a literature review in your final semester for a capstone, rather than working on research throughout your entire master's program to defend a thesis. So those are the two biggest differences.
Now, is it fair to say that you have more flexibility or maybe like more ownership of the classes that you take if you're doing the coursework and capstone versus the research and thesis? Because my understanding is that if you're doing the research and thesis option, you're using the professor who essentially says you can do research in their lab for the next year or two. That person is really picking your curriculum in conjunction with you, versus the coursework and capstone. Do you truly have autonomy over what classes you're taking?
Yeah, so if you're a coursework and capstone or research and thesis, really you do have autonomy on over what elective credits, because it depends on the master's program, and I don't want to get too detailed into the different ones, but a lot of our master's programs still have a very large credit of elective area that a lot of our students do choose to take research to fill that area up. But yeah, if you are doing research and thesis, you're not going to want to take a lot of courses during your master's year, especially because if you really want to get the research done and graduate in that plus 1 year, you want to be focused on your research. So there might be courses that maybe your faculty advisor recommends that you take that will help with your research. But if you really wanted to take electives, you definitely could. But you do have more autonomy in what you're taking for the coursework and capstone, because it is... the coursework and capstone masters are driven by the coursework, whereas the research and thesis masters is driven by your research.
That's a really interesting way to
put it. So it's less coursework heavy. Most of the coursework that you take will probably be the courses that you share over from your undergrad degree. Yeah.
Now, what types of students are you seeing who are interested in the 4+1? Are these students who are getting sort of a terminal master's where they're going to go undergraduate, then get the master's, then go into the workforce? Are you seeing students use master's as a stepping stone to PhD or medical school or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both for sure. I think a lot of our students are interested in going the PhD route. If you're interested in doing a PhD, especially at ASU, highly recommend doing a research and thesis master's, because if you work well with your faculty advisor for your master's thesis, there's a good chance that you could continue doing PhD dissertation work with them. And we do have current students, which it's funny because one of the students that I'm thinking of, she was my undergrad student and she did the accelerated program in the molecular and cellular bio masters. And now she's doing the PhD program in molecular and cellular bio starting in the fall. So that's definitely a route. But we also have a lot of students who are using this master's as kind of like a resume builder for maybe med school. Coursework in Capstone is very popular for students interested in going the pre-health route still. It just allows them to take more STEM courses, improve their STEM GPA.
I'm guessing the Capstone project is a nice little writing sample for them too.
Yeah, I mean, the Capstone is a great way for them to have a writing sample, like you said, work on their writing skills, while also, like, if they get a biology MS, I mean, it looks good for sure. And it also gives them more time to figure out if they do want to go the medical school route. But we have students who, you know, are focused on research in conservation, but are going the bio MS route. And then they go and work for wherever, game and fish, whatever it may be. And then they're out like tracking animals or plants or something. So I think that there's a lot of different ways to use it. I think the main thing is we want students to do the accelerated master's that want a master's degree. If you're just using it as a way to buy time or improve your resume, but you don't necessarily want a master's, you're going to be in for kind of a rude awakening. Like, a master's degree is not simple, especially if you go the coursework and Capstone route. The 500 level bio courses that you're going to be taking are going to be intensive. So unless you want the master's, I wouldn't do it, but it's a really good tool for students who are trying to do a number of different routes afterwards.
Yeah, it does sound very versatile. So there are three basic minimum requirements to get into the 4+1. Now, if you meet these requirements, you're not automatically admitted, but they're just the minimum prerequisites. So the first one is at least a 3.0 GPA. The second one is have at least 2 semesters left of undergrad. And then the third, if you want to do the research and thesis option, is to have done research in a professor's lab. I constantly hear from students about like wiggle room around these. Like, if, you know, let's take them one by one. Like, 3.0 GPA. If the student has like a 2.97, are you guys just tossing this in the trash, or should they still apply with the 2.97?
So you're not able to apply for the phase one application, which I'll break down the different application points to right now. The phase one application is what allows our students to start taking 500 level coursework in their last 2 semesters. The 2 full semester prereq, I guess you can call it, really only works for our in-person students. If you're an online student, it really varies depending on how many credits you're wanting to take each semester of undergrad to finish. But for on-campus students, you have to have 2 full semesters left exactly. There's a little wiggle room with that rule when it comes to the coursework and Capstone masters, depending on what do you have left to graduate, which we'll talk about in a bit. And then how many 400 level life science related courses have you already taken and are able to share? Because if you don't have anything to share, it doesn't make sense to do the accelerated program. The perk of the accelerated program is to be able to share 12 credits during undergrad before you technically start your master's in the fall or spring or whatever it may be. But the 3.0 is not wiggle room, because we want high achieving students to be doing the accelerated program. Mm-hmm. If you are struggling to maintain a 3.0 GPA, which is the GPA requirement to graduate from graduate school, during your undergrad studies, we don't want to add on taking grad level courses to your undergrad degree. Now, if you're at like a 3.01, you're able to apply for phase one, but you must have a 3.0 undergrad cumulative GPA upon graduation to continue into your master's. And so it's just things like that to be aware of for sure. Just because you're phase one approved, or even if you get phase two approved, if you have a GPA below 3.0, we aren't going to let you continue into your master's, and that's something to consider. Let's talk about the phase two app really quick. So the phase one app, like we talked about, is due prior to your senior year is kind of the easiest way to explain it. 2 full semesters left. Like you said, if you are doing a research and thesis pathway, you must have a faculty advisor sign on to be your faculty advisor prior to doing phase one. This is because we want you to start your research towards your master's thesis by your last semester of undergrad, because it's really impossible for students to start their master's and think that they're going to have enough research to defend a thesis that coming spring. So the earlier you can start your master's research, the better, and we want you to start during undergrad, which is why we require a approved thesis advisor. If you want to learn more about if your advisor can serve on your committee, just schedule an appointment with us. It's kind of the easiest way to talk about it. But typically they need to be SOLS tenured track faculty, meaning assistant professor or higher.
Can you give us a sense of, like, because even these titles to me are a little bit opaque. What is under, so what would not be applicable? What is under the assistant professor that would not work here?
Yeah, so if you're looking, and some of these people could be co-chairs. So you can have two advisors, but you must have a tenure track faculty on board. So tenure track are assistant professor, associate professor, anything above that that seems like a super fancy word that you don't know what it means, they're probably a tenure track. Non-tenure track faculty are research specialist, assistant teaching faculty, different things like that. And this does not mean that they cannot serve as your chair. We have some non-tenure track faculty serve as chair. You just need to get approval. And that's where it comes to just meeting with our office. It gets complicated, so I don't want to confuse everybody too much. But if you are unsure about an advisor, the easiest way is just to email us and ask if they can be used. The phase two application is just a traditional master's app. So you are applying to ASU for the master's program that you're accelerating to. Because when you fill out the phase one application, you basically just go into the ASU system as an accelerated student. And all that means is that when you graduate from undergrad and start your master's the following semester, that you're able to share credits from your undergrad degree. Because typically, students, even if they're taking 500 level courses in undergrad, those are credits towards their undergrad. So if they were wanting to do a master's in the future, they can't say, oh, I took bio 579, can I use it in my master's? The answer would be no. So phase two is just a master's application. This is due prior to your last semester of undergrad. And really the only way that you wouldn't be accepted into the master's program at this point, if you're phase one approved, is if your faculty advisor no longer wants to serve as your faculty advisor and you don't have one, then obviously you're not going to continue into your master's. And then also, like I said, if your GPA falls below that 3.0, those are really the main things. So as long as you are still working with your faculty advisor, everything's on track, your GPA still looks good, you're in a good spot. It's just making sure that you graduate when you said you were, so that we're kind of aware of the deadlines. Because we are flexible. If you need to push back your undergrad graduation, that's totally fine. Just have to let us know that so that we can edit our notes and know that you'll be starting your master's maybe a semester later.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's zero wiggle room on the GPA. With the two semesters left, if the student has one semester left, like, is there ever, I've actually had a student who changed her major in order to then have two semesters, like if she changed her concentration, she would then have two semesters left. Are there any other scenarios where you can think of where this would make sense or be allowed?
I think that the main thing that students need to keep in mind when it comes to the accelerated program is that the undergrad is definitely like the most important. So let's say you have one semester left. Like we talked about earlier, the coursework in Capstone Bio MS is a little more flexible as far as the deadlines, for sure. But if you have one semester left, you're wanting to do the accelerated program, you have 21 credits left to finish your undergrad degree, at that point it doesn't make sense. Because, sure, you might share 6 credits of 400-level coursework, which is great, but it's not worth adding all of that unnecessary stress to your schedule. If you want to do research and thesis, like we talked about earlier, you need to have 2 full semesters left, and that is mostly for research and working with your faculty advisor. But with coursework and Capstone, if you have 1 semester left, you're already sharing maybe 6 credits of 400-level coursework from the past, and you don't have a lot left in your undergrad degree where we can add 500-level credits and it's not going to overwhelm you, then that's definitely an example of a way that it would be fine to apply later. I think all of these are definitely a case-by-case basis. So if you're ever unsure, just schedule an appointment with our office. I can take one look at a student's DARS and see what they have left and see if they're a good candidate to try and accelerate through the accelerated program in that last semester. So it just depends on what you have left and if you can handle the additional coursework of adding 500-level courses.
Yeah, and I'll include Drayton's email in the notes for this episode and also your booking link. Let's talk about how students like finance this graduate degree. A lot of students will ask me, so typically like those New American University scholarships run for 8 semesters, but some students apply to the 4+1 after 3 years. If you're bringing in a lot of AP credits or something like that, technically the +1 year might be actually your 4th year at ASU. If you still have eligibility on those New American scholarships, can you use that in your +1 year of the master's?
Yes. So if you The new American scholarship works, I think, for 8 semesters, fall and spring. If you still have an extra semester or two left, you can use those in your plus 1 year. With anything scholarship or financial aid related, though, we always want you just to reach out to financial aid so that you understand it better, because those scholarships aren't from our office, so we don't have like any control over them. But yes, if you are a 3+1 student or in a 3.5+1, and you still have New American money or a New American semester, they can be used in your plus 1 year. Cool. Obviously, if you take more than a plus 1 year, they're not going to continue past that 8th semester. So that's something to keep in mind. But going back to funding, we hire TAs from our office. Something to mention is that funding through TA-ship or RA-ship is never guaranteed for master's students, and that includes our accelerated master's students. So yes, there is the opportunity to potentially be a TA, and you would work 20 hours a week. You get a stipend for the semester that you get paid biweekly, and that's a way that a lot of our students fund their program for sure, but it's never guaranteed. So an email goes out before every semester with, if you would like a potential TA in the upcoming semester, please fill this out. If you don't fill it out, you're kind of SOL. That's kind of on you. But if you do fill it out and there are open spots after our PhD students have been placed as TAs, then you'll be notified and you'll have the option to be a TA. The stipend, I want to say it was like 18, no, 15,000, I believe, last fall for the semester. And like I said, you're working 20 hours a week. If I could work 20 hours a week and get paid $30,000 for the year, honestly, potentially sign me up. But the other option would be an RA, so you can be a research assistant as well as a master's student. And this would be completely up to your faculty advisor. If they have funding and they have projects for you to work on that they can pay for, great. If they don't, then your only option would be to be a TA. And yeah, never guaranteed. Wouldn't be able to be possible during your undergrad year. It would have to be in your plus 1 year when you are in the system as a master's student.
Now, students can set up appointments with you to talk about 4+1, and like I said, I'll put your booking link in the show notes. What have students been coming to ask you about the 4+1, or what should they be coming to ask you about?
Yeah, I think before you meet with me, I recommend that students have a good idea of what master's degree they're looking at, and kind of knowing what the requirements are for that specific master's, or if they have like three that they're trying to choose between, but they want to meet with me to kind of narrow it down. Like, I am happy to meet with and answer any questions that students have, but I want the students to do a little bit of homework before they come to me, right? Like anything, as an advisor. But yeah, I think a lot of students are just curious about what would be the best master's program for them, depending on what their research is about. And that is something that I'm not an expert on, because I'm not a scientist whatsoever. I like history.
You have a master's in education.
I have a master's in education. So what I would say is, if you have a research faculty already and you're trying to decide between what master's to do, ask your faculty member what master's your thesis project makes sense towards. And then other questions students have is just about the process. So if you have questions about the process of applying for the 4+1, that's obviously a good reason to meet with me as well. The good news is, I was an undergrad advisor 9 months ago, so I understand the undergrad degrees as well, so I can kind of help students configure if you should take functional genomics at the 500 level and use it in your undergrad degree, or if you should take research credits in your last semester of undergrad, and this is how you can do that. So I'm kind of the go-to for all master's level questions, whereas undergrad advisors still remain the go-to for undergrad questions.
Yeah, and we can even be your first line of defense for 4+1 questions, but a lot of times, especially when it comes down to the timing of it, I will refer students to Drayton. Drayton, last question. I'm an on-campus advisor, so I work with on-campus students. So my questions have been basically tailored to, like, what if you're an on-campus student who wants to do the 4+1? Advice for the online students who are applying for this. Is there anything that's radically different about that experience?
I think with online students, right now it is harder as an online student to do a thesis master's, but it doesn't mean it's impossible. We do have the biology MS, which could be a thesis route for our online students, but same thing applies. It's all about finding a faculty advisor whose tenure track or approved to serve as a chair. and getting their approval to be your faculty advisor. If you don't have a faculty advisor, you can't do a thesis. And so what I would say with online students too, if you don't have any research experience during your undergrad degree, it could also be more difficult. Another thing to consider with if you're an online student is just you can do the phase one application a little earlier if you're not taking up to 15 credits per semester, right? The main reason to do phase one is to take 500 level courses. So if you're in a spot in your degree where you're maybe taking one or two classes a semester, so maybe you have three or four semesters left, you're able to do phase one at that point as an online student because we want you to be able to take 500 level courses. But other than that, it's pretty much the same. We only offer at this point biology MS online and the computational life sciences MS online. So then it goes back to what do you want to get out of your master's degree. And then I also work with online students with their undergrad advisors to figure out sharing credits, what makes the most sense to take during undergrad, what can be taken at the grad level and applied to undergrad. So the timeline is a little different for online students and maybe the thesis versus coursework and capstone. Those are the biggest differences. We don't have a ton of thesis students, but it doesn't mean it's impossible. It's just about finding a faculty advisor who is able to chair.
Well, Drayton, really appreciate your time. Learned so much about the 4+1 this morning. I hope our listeners did too. And looking forward to having you back on to discuss some random third thing at some point.
Perfect. Thanks, Evan.
Cool. I did.